The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, United Airlines, and Verizon.
We have so much to talk about over the next hour. Seemingly, we never have enough time, but we're going to try and fit it all in. Zach Zidman, impossible, joined by 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller with you for the entire hour. You can join us. We're going to take your phone calls right from the get-go at 312-644-6767. The best caller of the hour will win a gift certificate to Sports Authority, so there's always extra incentive to participate in this show. Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority. All right, let's start out from where we left off last week, because when we signed off a week ago, the Bears were reportedly going to bring in Manny Ramirez, the offensive lineman, into the mix. He was officially signed. Then they brought in another offensive lineman by the name of Ted Larson, who spent some time with the Arizona Cardinals before joining the Bears. You add two linemen to the mix. They play on the inside. Bears have Matt Slauson. Bears have Kyle Long. And they've got the second-year man at center by the name of Hronis Grasu. So, Tom, I ask you, why did they sign these guys who both say that they're competing to be starters?
Because they have versatility. And I think one of the hardest decisions to do on game day is to see how many guys you want to have active on your defensive line and your offensive line. And first of all, if you have a guy that can swing to any position on the offensive line, Manny Ramirez has plenty of experience, and he understands what it takes and the details of all three positions on the inside. And then you have versatility on the outside. So the key ingredient here is, yeah, you want to upgrade the competition to start a training camp. You want every guy to come in here and believe that they're the starter at their position that they're lined up at. But when we went to training camp last year and just getting to know John Fox and offensive line coach Dave Magazoo, we saw every offensive lineman play every position up and down on the line of scrimmage because they were getting ready for exactly that, making sure they had the right personnel on their game day roster, and they are all capable of doing things outside their job. Last year at practice, Charles Leno was a really nice developing left tackle, but he was also playing some center at the end of the year. And then you got the versatility of Kyle Long to any guard position to go to any tackle position. And then we saw what Slauson was able to do. So if you can increase the versatility of the players you have, it's a better offensive line, and it's easier to make those decisions on game day.
Jim, when you look at the additions of Ramirez and Larson, do you see these guys potentially ending up, when they break camp and they're getting ready to start the regular season, do you see one or both guys in the starting lineup?
No, I think it's going to be difficult for them, and I think their contract reflects that, you know, because that's part of the deal, too. You're signing guys for the right price. One, Fox has a background with Manny, if my memory serves me correctly. And Ted Larson's just been a tough guy that's been around forever. And let's remember, he could have easily have re-signed back in Arizona. But that's not the case. He moved on because I think it was going to be a struggle for him to compete down there for a starting job with the Arizona Cardinals. So that's how I look at it. I just think you've got experienced guys that come with a lot of starts, that have come with a lot of playing time, that can bolster your offensive line, and that will be competitive. It's increased the competition at the offensive line because, let's face it, we've had guys that the Bears have had in the past, Vlad Dukas, some other guys that have had opportunities with other teams, but they don't come with the credentials that either Manny Ramirez or Ted Larson come with in terms of playing time. And again, I go back, the contracts are going to reflect it as well. These guys are better, they're upgrades, but it doesn't mean necessarily that they're going to take over Hronis Grasu's job. His job is there to keep these guys off of the field, and he's just got to continue to do his part and get better and continue to grow as the Bears selected him with a fourth-round draft pick to really be a stable guy on that offensive line. I think he'll continue to grow.
The other thing that they did, they brought in a special team standout when he's on the field by the name of Omar Bolden, who comes over from Denver. He has experience with the Bears special teams coordinator Jeff Rogers as well as Bears head coach John Fox. But again, injury-prone. If he's able to stay healthy, Tom, where do you see him fitting in?
like you said, or when we were talking before the show, he's got to be an every phase contributor on the special teams. And you have to use your athleticism, you have to use your size, you have to use your experience, but you have to make sure that you stay healthy, because it's as important for those guys to be in their roles week in and week out as it is for any position player out there. But again, you talk about a player that contributes a little bit more versatility, and it's just the handling of the football on special teams plays, kickoff return and punt return. When you have that a clever athlete like that who's willing to go down on the other side of the ball and make tackles and make big blocks, that's a big-time contribution by one player.
Yeah, because, Jim, last week when we were talking with Mark Mariani, who the Bears also brought back this offseason, you know, he was mentioning how he believes you're going to see more kickoff returns with the touchback being moved to the 25-yard line, and teams are going to take the chance and say, hey, we don't think you can get to the 25 off of a return. Is he a guy they're looking at to replace, potentially, Deonte Thompson as a guy who is going to be that kickoff return man? What does this mean for Mariani as a punt returner?
Yeah, well, I think it's, again, you know, whether it's Manny Ramirez or a guy like Omar Bolden, these are guys that, whether it's Dave Magazoo, the offensive line coach of the Bears, or you mentioned the special teams coach, Jeff Rogers, they know these players personally. You know, they've watched them practice, how they performed out there in Denver. John Fox has a good idea of what these guys bring to the table and what their roles are going to be. And what are they? They're guys you can count on. They're dependable guys that you want on your team that are going to be good locker room guys. And I think that is really one of the things that John Fox has really focused on since he's arrived in Chicago. I think we know it wasn't always a pleasant locker room over the past couple years. And now to clean that up, to get with accountable guys that can contribute on special teams in certain roles for your team, and you know they're solid players because they've already seen it and witnessed it out there in Denver. So I just think, you know, that's my opinion of it. I don't think they're world beaters of signings. They're just good, accountable players that are going to upgrade your team with a roster that was decimated basically over 2 years ago.
The Chicago Bears Miller Lite Draft Party is Thursday, April 28th at Soldier Field. Tickets start at just $25 and are available at chicagobears.com. It's going to be a big draft night on Thursday, April 28th. The Bears have the 11th overall pick. Tom, you've been to this event. What's it like?
It's just, you know what it is? It's a great way to meet and greet with the Chicago Bears fans, because we're all there for the same reason. We're not gathering because of the outcome of a football game or trying to get as close to the fence at a practice, a training camp as you possibly can. This is where you come into Soldier Field, you mingle with all the guys that are there. They have a big Bear presence down there, and I think with the excitement that's going to be, contributed that night with the 11th pick in the draft, I think it's going to be an exciting night for the Bears fans, because I think they do have a positive feeling about where this football season, where this team is going.
And Jim, you talk about this every day nationally. You've spent a lot of time kind of trying to break down what's going to happen in the early going of this draft. And with that 11th overall pick, it appears as though a very talented defensive player is going to be available for the Bears. We know that's probably the biggest need that they have defensively. And there are a bunch of names that are continually linked to where the Bears pick at 11th. And depending on who you read, it's either the Georgia outside linebacker Leonard Floyd, it's the Alabama defensive tackle A'shaun Robinson, it's Shaq Lawson, the outside linebacker from Clemson. What's realistic when the Bears pick at 11th?
Well, I think that, you know, all those players are realistic at that particular spot. You know, I actually talked to A'shaun Robinson today, the Alabama player. He's a solid player. Alabama defensive tackle. He's played everything from zero technique, five technique. Some, you know, would choose him in a 4-3 defense because he offers position flexibility. He's 6'4", well over 300 pounds. He's very strong. You know, he's a mountain of a man. I think what he's had to prove is that he does have pass rushing ability on third down, I think is what's been key for not only him, but his teammate, Jaron Reed, who's also getting thought of pretty high because he offers position flexibility in a 3-4 defense. So there's going to be plenty of guys there, and plus you got to throw out some caveats too. I would not be upset with the Bears if they move from 11 down to 20. And already pick up a perennial Pro Bowler in Muhammad Wilkerson from the New York Jets. That guy could provide a lot of things too, and you know what he already offers in the National Football
League. Totally agree, and he's young, he's in his 20s, but the argument that I would make to that is, Are the Bears in a position where they can afford to trade away more draft? Because it's not going to take just one first-round pick in order to bring a guy like Wilkerson in. You're probably going to have to give up a number of high draft picks in order to bring a guy like that in.
Well, the Jets are moving up to 11. That's a lot of compensation, too. So, granted, you're giving us your Pro Bowl player because you can't afford him. They basically can't afford to pay that player because he's got the franchise tag. So they can let it marinate a year, and then if they franchise him again, that's another 120% of his salary. The Bears would be doing the Jets a favor as well. So, granted, there'd be compensation that's discussed, but I don't think it would take as much as what everybody's suggesting for Muhammad Wilkerson.
Hey, Jim, do you think we're a little naive to sit here and talk about the Bears, about the draft? We've done it now 6-7 weeks in a row, and we don't address the offensive side of the ball in the first round because everybody's dreaming about that quarterback being there. But is there another offensive guy out there?
Hold on. That's a great question, and I want Jim to answer it. But on the other side,
I know I want him to think about it because I want to know, is there that dream offensive guy out there that we should all be paying more attention to?
Yeah, we know the Bears need defensive help.
That's all we hear, though, from all the pickers.
But outside of quarterback, it would be easy, I think, if a guy like Jared Goff or Carson Wentz somehow dropped down to 11. But if not, is there another offensive player that you would have your eye on and say that guy's better than any defensive player who could be there for the Bears at 11? We'll discuss next with Jim Miller. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zabin. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, covering the world of Bears football on and off the field with Anthony Adams and Lauren Screedon, brought to you by Jimmy John's and airing every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox 32 Chicago. Go to chicagobears.com/InsideTheBears. This week, an encore presentation of Inside the Bears. William the Refrigerator Perry makes his return to Soldier Field. The Bears make a little girl's dream come true, and Kari Lee buckles up for big guys in compact cars. Inside the Bears, brought to you by Jimmy John's, airs Saturdays at 6 p.m. on My50 Chicago and Sundays at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. You can also watch show segments online at chicagobears.com anytime. You know, I remember when the fridge came to Soldier Field at the tail end of the season, and I had a chance to interview him live on the radio, and we had to go back upstairs to the play. But as soon as he found out that you were up in the booth, he wanted me to stop what I was doing right then and there and go up to the booth and make sure that you knew that he said hello.
Well, our first year at the Bears, because I got there late, we drafted. He was drafted, and I came from the USFL. And our lockers were almost, across the locker room from each other. So I did have a lot of FaceTime, got to watch him every day when he got there in the morning. And, you know, I don't think you're ever going to hear a bad word about the fridge. He's a great guy. He's a great personality. He's super friendly. He's a gracious guy inside the locker room that was fun just to be a part of. And you'll remember him forever.
And, you know, from that 30 for 30 documentary, we found out, and I don't necessarily know if you were that guy, but there were a lot of guys in that locker room who made him feel like a rookie, and he took it. He didn't complain about it. He took the rookie treatment.
Hey, you know, he was a great guy. I just didn't want to get him mad because, you know, William, he had some incredible defensive line instincts, like his brother Michael Dean Perry, who also played in the NFL. And a lot of times defensive linemen, it's not listening to commands. It's the innate ability to react when the ball is snapped. And that's what that was a great trait of William and his brother Michael Dean.
At the goal line, was it easier for you to block for Sweetness or the fridge?
You were more scared of getting hit in the back by Fridge because Walter would jump over you. You know, you would never feel him because he'd be 3 or 4 feet over the top of you. Fridge, his feet weren't leaving the ground, and he was still going to gain ground.
That's 85 Bear Tom Thayer. Former Bears quarterback Jim Miller is along. I'm Zach Sadman. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. We're taking your phone calls throughout the entire hour. 312-644-6767 is the number. Best caller of the hour wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority. And Jim, before the break, Tom mentioned, you know, all this talk about defensive players with the Bears with the 11th pick in that first round. But is there an offensive player that jumps outside of the quarterback position that the Bears must take a look at over a defensive player?
Well, I think if a couple of guys fall, I think a lot of people expect Ezekiel Elliott, the running back from Ohio State, to be selected in the top 10. Supposedly Philly, that's why they position themselves. They need kind of a three-down running back for the Philadelphia Eagles, and they'll be selecting at 8. And if Elliott falls to them, potentially be their guy. Because think of how they use, like, Brian Westbrook, you know, the Andy Reid-style offense. Think of how they use Jamal Charles. That's kind of missing right now in Philadelphia because their new head coach, Doug Peterson, who's taken over, he runs the same style offense as Andy Reid. So they don't have a three-down running back like they've traditionally had. So, but let's say Ezekiel Elliott falls through to eight. Probably the Giants and Ben McAdoo, because think of the Green Bay Packers. That's his background. They need a three-down running back. Let's say, but Ezekiel Elliott slips through the Giants at 10. Then potentially the Bears would have to think about it, I believe. I also think you'd have to think about Ronnie Stanley, the offensive tackle from Notre Dame. Because it's interesting because I had Bob Wiley on it. For the listeners out there, Bob Wiley he's a longtime offensive line coach, currently coaching up in Canada, and he was the offensive line coach when I was there with the Bears. He is working with Ronnie Stanley. So, Tom, if I were to say, when I threw out to Bob Wiley, how's his punch? Jim, it's an A. How's his ability to anchor? It's an A. Movement skills in pulling and getting downfield? A. It's one of the best tackles he's ever been. And all the guys that he's coached, he mentioned. And so we went through all the checklists, and the only negative, there were two negatives that Bob Wiley gave. He said he does think his knee bend could be a little better, but he's a big guy, being 6'7". But his ability to move, his ability to be smart. And he said, out of all the games he watched Ronnie Stanley, his opponent only made a play on the football twice. Twice. He always got his assignment done.
Wasn't that opponent Shaq Lawson in the Clemson game?
It was Shaq Lawson, but twice out of all the games that he played in. So Bob thinks very highly of Ronnie Stanley, out of all the players he's coached. And part of it is, yeah, he's probably getting paid and he's working for him. But I think there was a lot of honesty in what Bob Wiley was talking about Ronnie Stanley. So I think that's another guy Bears would have to consider.
All right. With that being said, what's your expectations for Kevin White? You know, Zach and I were talking during the break. Do you learn when you're in meetings as a rookie, but you're not participating? Do you think it'll speed up his learning curve in terms of now being able to be active on the field? And then what do you think is a realistic contribution for Kevin White as, you know, what do you want to call him, a redshirt rookie?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think he's extremely talented. He proved even at his pro day he can run the route tree, because think about West Virginia. They didn't really do that high-octane offense, all those type of things. He can work out the slot. You can move him around as a wide receiver. I do think his best spot is X, because he can be a coverage dictator and kind of muscle guys. I think, obviously, if he comes back stronger and healthier, and I think he's a smart guy that pays attention in the meeting rooms, that he can go out and apply the things that he does best. And I do think when you look at Dow Logan's, they'll focus on things early that he can do best and really dictate things to a defense to help out a young guy like Kevin White. So it'll be, you know, what a player does well, and you're really going to focus on those things early, and then you'll start to see the more things he can do to affect the defense, and then he'll start to catch on, and then more will just be added to his plate. That would be my opinion on Kevin White. Key for him is to be healthy, to be out on the field, just to work on his craft. He hasn't been able to work on his craft, but I think he's extremely, extremely talented and going to be a great player once he gets out on the field.
So opening day one, you have a healthy Alshon Jeffrey and you have a healthy Kevin White. And then you intermix the other guys in there, Miller at tight end or the slot guy.
Eddie Royal.
So you mix all those guys in, but you have Alshon and Kevin White. How do teams see coverage responsibilities against those two guys?
Well, it's going to be a lot of cover two, which is going to invite the Chicago Bears to run the football, because they'll have one less player in the box because they're worried about the down-the-field throws, safety help on both sides, or even if it's a quarters coverage, it's still an extra guy that's out of the box. So you'd have the ability, or what the defense would show you would invite the Bears to run the football, which for John Fox is just fine. That's what he wants to do all day long anyway. Go back to his Carolina days and even what he did out there in Denver when Tim Tebow and those guys, even late in the year with Peyton Manning, was hurt. So that'd be all fine with John Fox running the football and just pounding a team into oblivion.
What do you guys think? 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Best caller of the hour wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority. And this is where it gets interesting because, again, we've talked about the defensive players that will likely be available. You figure the Bears are going to take. If they're going to take a lineman or an outside linebacker, it's going to be one of these names. Leonard Floyd, Shaq Lawson, A'Shaun Robinson. It could be the Louisville defensive tackle, Sheldon Rankin. Those types of players. It might be a cornerback who could be available at 11 that they like. But when it comes to offense, because I think that's what catches most people's eyes, you know, Tom mentioned, you know, one of the receivers who could be available right where the Bears pick at 11 is a guy that's familiar to a lot of people around the Chicagoland area, and that is Laquon Treadwell. Went to college at Ole Miss, but was a star on the prep level at Crete Moni. I believe he finished his high school career as the second leading receiver in the history of Illinois prep football. So here's a big target. You know, he's a guy who's 6'2", he's 200-plus pounds, another red zone-like target. The Bears lost one when they traded away Martellus Bennett to New England. Do you take a chance on a receiver at that spot?
Well, for me, I have a hard time with Laquon Treadwell because I think he makes a ton of plays, as you mentioned. I'm not a fan of that 40 time. It was not a blazing speed. Not that he's not a playmaker, and he can do a lot of, you know, fade stops, and he'll, you know, jump and leap and make great catches down the field. But I think the Bears already have that type of receiver in Alshon Jeffrey, who might be even just a little bit faster than Laquon Treadwell.
But is there too much of an emphasis, and I'm in a realistic way, is there too much emphasis on speed? Because you can get a guy that has blazing speed, but he doesn't have the inability, he can't catch the ball when he's making decisions or decisions are being made for him on an instant. Who out of the top receivers, who is the best catcher of the football of these college guys?
Well, let's just say, if you were to, would you compare Laquon Treadwell to be as good as Larry Fitzgerald? That guy ran a slow 40 coming out of University of Pittsburgh, and look what he is in the pros. I have a hard time imagining Laquon Treadwell is going to be that type of player, like a Larry Fitzgerald. He's a very talented guy, but I just think for the roles that the Bears are doing, hopefully they'll work out a long term deal with Alshon Jeffrey, because I would see Laquon as a Z, because to me Kevin White has that X receiver spot pretty much locked down.
And then there's Ezekiel Elliott. And the reason I bring him up is we keep talking about the defense. Well, what helps a defense more than being able to keep your offense on the field? And if Jim's right, and Kevin White's able to stay healthy, and Alshon Jeffrey's able to stay healthy, same thing with Eddie Royal, and teams are playing that cover two and backing off and playing a zone defense, well, it opens up the running game. And this guy, combined with Jeremy Langford and Kadeem Carey, I mean, that's a whale of a three-headed monster that you can put on the field.
Right. Yeah. Anytime you can loosen up the line of scrimmage and have less than nine guys that are within 4.5 to 6 yards of the line of scrimmage, or eight guys every time, it's really going to be a great opportunity for Jay Cutler to flourish too. He'll, a little bit more aggressive decisions at the line of scrimmage, and Dowell, you know, how he, you know, perceives what the strength of the offense is and how he, you know, gives his commands from the sideline to Cutler.
I wouldn't be opposed to Elliott, or say later in the draft. If say Derrick Henry is there and is available, say in the second round, I doubt that he is, because that's a power running back as well. But the one thing you like about Ezekiel Elliott, and Urban Meyer said it, the Ohio State head coach, and this says a lot, he's the best player he's ever coached without the football in his hand. What does that mean? He's a devastating blocker. This guy can, he will light you up. Like Michigan State game that they lost, go back and watch that game and watch how hard Ezekiel Elliott was playing in that game, even though he didn't get the football. Granted, he was frustrated he didn't get the football, and he was right, but go watch how hard that guy played without the football in his hand. That is a true statement by Urban Meyer.
And keep in mind that after he complained, they didn't hesitate to feed him the rock, because they knew that this guy could make a difference with the ball in his hands. 312-644-6767. Your phone call's coming up, and when we return from the break, here's something to think about. Jim, think about this, because you played the position for the Bears. Tom, you've been covering the Bears forever. When's the last time the Bears took a quarterback in the first three rounds of the NFL draft? We discuss next. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The official tablet app of the Chicago Bears, Bears Daily, powered by Xfinity, is now available for free download. Search Bears Daily for the latest team news, videos, photos, and more. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you here on Bears All Access. Best caller of the hour, 312-644-6767, gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority. To the phones we go. Mokina, Adam, you're on Bears All Access. Good evening.
Hey, Adam.
Hey, guys. I'm just curious if you guys think that the Bears need to take an offensive tackle in the first round, because it just seems like, from what I've seen, they might be a little thin in terms of potential impact guys at that position after that spot. And so if they can, you know, if they can get Ronnie Stanley there, do you think that that's a must draft, or is there potential in maybe free agency or a trade for them?
You know, Adam, again, I often talk about a guy on the show, Teo Fabaluje, who they drafted last year, and he's a big guy. He's 6'7 plus, over 320 pounds, and I think he's got quality features to be a good offensive lineman in this league. So if I was behind the scenes, if I was a coach, if I was a trainer, GM, whatever, and I had some visual contact, I could probably give you a clear answer. So to me, if Teo was developing as a guy that I could really believe as a solid contributor and possibly a starter in the future, then I would probably overpass my offensive tackle at that spot and continue trying to build a dominating defense. So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. However, with the signing of Bobby Massey, the versatility of Kyle Long, the youth development of Charles Leno Jr., I got to believe there's a little bit more security at that tackle position.
And, Tom, you make a point that I think fans just think because Charles Leno was a late-round draft pick that he didn't have a good season last year, that he was kind of just forced to play left tackle because Jermon Bushrod got hurt. But that's not true. He was a good player on the left side.
He's got quality traits that are hard to teach. You know, one thing about an offensive lineman, if you won't listen to the constant coaching of the offensive line coach, where you pinpoint your punch when your hands are only about 6 inches apart from each other, and they're really wide and they have this ice pick look to it, you can't play because you're going to repeatedly get offensive holding calls. And now where the official is placed, you're going to get them even at a quicker pace. So I think the innate things that Charles Leno Jr. does with great confidence, sometimes that's the hardest thing for any coach to teach. So now you have the ability to go out and teach a young guy who's got great confidence in his craft to go out and develop him into even a better player.
Jim, let's get to the quarterbacks, because I know a lot of people are interested about that. And the last time the Bears drafted a quarterback in the first three rounds of the NFL draft was 2003, in the first round, number 22 overall, Rex Grossman. Now, since that time, the highest quarterback that they've picked, round number 4 in 2005, Kyle Orton. Since making the trade for Jay Cutler in 2009, the Bears have drafted 3 quarterbacks: Dan LeFever, Nathan Enderle, and David Fales. Is this the year that the Bears prioritize the position in the draft?
Yeah, I think, you know, you always want to be cultivating that position. You know, there are some guys that will want to draft that position every year. That's why I bring up a guy like Andy Reid. He pretty much has done that nonstop, because a lot of times you can parlay that player, even though if you got a starter who's solidified. But if you're cultivating that quarterback position, meaning developing it, they potentially could equal trade compensation. That's why I brought up Kevin Cobb and a couple other quarterbacks that Andy Reid a week ago has traded. And it's really been a little bit of an industry, somewhat of a cottage industry, where they've made a lot of hay in terms of getting draft compensation. So I do think in this draft, there are some quarterbacks that are out there. You know, there's even guys that some think Connor Cook from Michigan State could fall to the second round. Is that the time, if he drops to where the Bears are selecting, they could select him? Christian Hackenberg, I think, is somebody that's worthy of selecting. There are guys later in the draft. A lot of guys love Jacoby Brissett from North Carolina State. He's not a guy who's going to go very high. He's probably going to be in the fifth round. Is probably where you can get a guy like Jacoby Brissett. He's a big guy, 6'4", 230. He's got a big arm, pocket passer. He's got some intriguing skill sets that you like. And then I brought up other guys, the kid from Western Kentucky, Brandon Doughty. This guy was probably the most accurate passer in college football a year ago in terms of his completion percentage. 6'3", 213 pounds. He's very confident as a player. But there's a couple of diamond in the rough quarterbacks that you can get all the way up to a guy even who I just mentioned, like a Doughty, in the fifth or sixth round that'll be there if Chicago Bears want to select one.
You know, one of the things that haunts me is when I think about Rex Grossman, if Cade McNown would have flourished at all or they would have gotten anything out of that draft class quarterback, maybe Rex Grossman wasn't picked by the Bears, because you would have hoped a 99-pick quarterback would just be developing into the very infancy of his prime. But here we are. We're not talking about Cade. We're talking about Rex and how it affects the quarterback position of the future.
312-644-6767 is the phone number. Schomburg, Timothy, you're on Bears All Access.
Well, thanks for taking my call, Zach. And my question is more of a analysis, but I think the reason you guys brought up earlier, Zach, you asked, like, why do you bring in Ted Larson and Ramirez? And my whole thing is I believe that John Fox and the staff are bringing in people that are veterans, that are proven people playing that position, so that they could make the other person work harder for it. And I think the reason why he picked up the free agencies from day one, they go out in Denver, and I think they got the best, you know, linebacker available on trade, and I think they got another top five linebacker on free agency. I think that they did that because at pick 11, I think, like, you know, what Mr. Miller said is where if you have someone that's going to give you, you know, if you have to trade down to 20 and get Wilkerson, they have the flexibility. And I think a lot of people aren't realizing that that's what they wanted to do, is not be able to have to pick a defensive guy at number 11. I think they went out in free agency and got all these people so that they have flexibility. Whether they go out and get in a month ago, everybody was against Ezekiel Elliott. Now with the pieces they got, anything's an option. And I just want to ask you guys, do you guys think all the moves in free agency were to be able to be at number 11 and do whatever you wanted to and not have to go after one defensive player? Thank you guys very much for taking my call. I think this is the best Bears show in town.
You know, Tim, that's a great point you brought up, though, because I think last year when they were making the decisions on free agency, they were kind of flying blind. Everybody from Ryan Pace to John Fox to Dave Magazoo to Roger, to all the coaches.
Yeah, they didn't have the intimate knowledge of the group.
So now what they do is they have an intimate knowledge. The players understand what's required by John Fox and his work ethic, which they were challenged a couple times last year. So I think Tim's making a great point that you have a better understanding of the free agents this year. You bring in more competition, and that makes the whole position better. It makes the football team better, and it makes the room more competitive. So I think it's a good point brought up by Tim.
And Jim, the other thing that you have to take a look at is, you know, the strengths of this draft. It's not a strong draft at inside linebacker. It's not a strong draft on the interior of the offensive line. So I think what the Bears did, they protected themselves at the positions where it would be difficult to go out and find guys. Tight ends, another position where it's not that strong this year. So they kind of protected themselves at the positions where if you're looking for help via the draft, you're not going to find it. And that gives them flexibility to get the positions that they really need.
No, I agree. You know, let's say if they do, you know, because the tight end position is thin to win, it'll be interesting to see how the Bears look at it. If they do want to select a tight end, or do they go out because they missed out on Josh Hill, who they wanted to sign from the New Orleans Saints, since they matched the offer? Do the Bears talk to the Oakland Raiders? Mikel Rivera is a guy who's available right now. Where would they place him if he were to come out in the 2016 NFL draft? They're probably going to put him ahead of any guy that's out there right now, because he's done a lot more. He's had a year of over 50 receptions 2 years ago out there for the Oakland Raiders. So there's options available. And I do think Ryan Pace and John Fox have been pretty savvy about addressing their needs with players who can play and players they project are going to be very good in the NFL. Because I thought last year in free agency they did well. This year with the inside backer position and the things they did in free agency, they did extremely well again. And they continue to add guys that come with a lot of experience but are good locker room guys.
Yeah, guys
that
they know.
And now we'll have to dive in the draft again.
You know how Tom was talking about how last year you didn't really have a true idea of the players in your locker room, both on and off the field. Well, the guys that they've brought in via free agency, there's an intimate knowledge of what makes these players tick, of how they react in good situations and bad situations. That's important, more so than just what you see on tape, I think. And that's why they've targeted certain players to bring in. Go ahead.
Well, let me add one. That's why I bring up Michael Rivera. Who just faced Michael Rivera out in the AFC West for 4 years? John Fox.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they play. He's going to know. They've scouted him. They played him twice a year. What type of blocker is he? How does he catch the football? What does he do? You know, because they drafted Clive Wolford higher, so they're pushing Clive in there, and now Michael Rivera is available. So it'll be interesting to see what John Fox is saying about that tight end, because that's potentially an option as the draft fast approaches.
Seems like no matter who you talk to, the top two quarterbacks in whatever ranking you have are either Carson Wentz or Jared Goff. The question I have as we head to the break, Jim, think about this. I want your answer when we come back. Is there a possibility that either Wentz or Goff is available at 11 when the Bears are on the clock? We discuss next. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access continues on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. 312-644-6767. Best caller of the hour wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Tom Thayer is here. So is Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. All right, let's get to the quarterback question, because it seems as though there are two quarterbacks that are above the rest of the group in Carson Wentz and Jared Goff. Any chance, Jim, that one of those two guys is available at 11?
I think it's hard to believe that one of the, you know, either of them would be available. You know, Cleveland at two, it would be a very tough to pass up, because essentially Robert Griffin III deal is a 1 year deal. It says 2 year, but that's really the second year is they can decide what they're going to do with RG3. It's hard to think about Dallas at four passing up a quarterback, because they've lost Tony Romo three times to a broken clavicle, and then when you look down the line, with Colin Kaepernick essentially being offered for a trade, it's hard to imagine that if he is traded to Denver, that San Francisco would pass up one of those quarterbacks at seven. And I'd even throw out the Philadelphia Eagles at eight.
Wow, even with all the money they spent with both Sam Bradford and Chase Daniel this offseason.
Well, same thing. Bradford's essentially a one-year deal, and he could be traded away. Chase Daniel, it's basically for him. He's getting paid backup money if he does start games. He has escalators that could earn him more money. So I think Philadelphia is in the mix. And the intriguing guy today was Paxton Lynch out of Memphis, who had his pro day. It's hard to believe that when this whole season started, Paxton Lynch was rated the number one quarterback on the board. He can do more things at quarterback than any other quarterback in this draft. What do I mean by that? Bigger arm strength, his mobility, how he can run, those type of things. Granted, he's a guy that is raw and needs to be developed, but you know, even for Paxton Lynch, I can make a case for him easily going mid-teens. You could bring up the Rams at 15. What even about the Buffalo Bills at 19? Buffalo, they haven't signed Tyrod Taylor yet. What coordinator in Greg Roman is the perfect fit for a guy like Paxton Lynch? It's kind of the same offense that Colin Kaepernick and Tyrod Taylor are currently running under Greg Roman up there in Buffalo. So, you know, what about one of those teams? If they're interested in trading up for the Bears, who I think even the Bears have got to be interested in a guy like Paxton Lynch. I mean, that guy's got a lot of intriguing skills.
Right, and the Bears are in a unique position, guys, where you have a quarterback that you trust at the position at the NFL level right now who has a few years left. And it's the perfect low-pressure situation to bring in a young guy, teach him the way you want to play the position. Now, will he get along with the quarterback? Will the quarterback get along with him? I don't think that Brett Favre was the nicest guy to Aaron Rodgers, but it worked.
A question going out to Jim is, you think about the entirety of the league, and you think about specifically the quarterback position, and you think of RG3, you think of Manziel, you think of Colin Kaepernick, and then you think of guys like Josh McCown, Brock Osweiler, Whedon, you know, second tier of veterans that you don't know really what to expect out of them, and then the talent that comes in the draft. I think there's been more talked about in the quarterback position, where guys belong, where teams are going to pick, the value that they have within the pick where they're located. I've never heard this much confused controversy about the quarterback position league-wide and everywhere you listen, read, and talk to.
Because it's, look at the position. What was Dallas's season when Tony Romo went down?
Done.
So think about the last time the Dallas Cowboys won a world championship. The highest guy they took, Troy Aikman, number one overall pick in the NFL draft coming out of UCLA. I remember it was the year I graduated high school. And, you know, they haven't won a championship since. They haven't won one. Look at Cleveland. All their, you know, all their failures at the quarterback spot. They passed up Ben Roethlisberger. Ben Roethlisberger, Cleveland passed him up. They have not won a game. Granted, they've taken flyers. They continue to throw bodies at the position, drafting Brad Weeden first round. Think about it. They've traded in the first round twice to draft Brady Quinn, who was an abysmal failure out of Notre Dame. And then they traded back up into the first round to draft Johnny Manziel and didn't get it right.
Yeah, they've just made poor decisions.
Well, some other teams that have the same approach, like Seattle, what did they do? They continued to throw bodies at the position, right? They traded for Charlie Whitehurst. Nope, he ain't going to get it done. Picked up Matt Flynn, paid him ungodly money. Nope, you're not going to get it done. Drafted Russell Wilson. Oh, we may have a chance here. Brought in Tavares Jackson. They just kept on throwing bodies at the position. But you've got to do that in order to get it right.
And the Bears have only done it three times via the draft since trading for Jay Cutler. And now you're talking about a quarterback. And again, I think Jay Cutler has plenty of good football left.
Agree.
But now is the time where I think you have to start thinking about protecting yourself at the position going forward, and you have a unique opportunity with that 11th overall pick, a position where if the Bears continue to ascend with John Fox as the head coach, you're not going to be in the position that you're in right now to be able to draft that high. It's kind of the way I look at it.
Right. There's a bigger number of quarterbacks that are in the draft that aren't defined as number ones. They're going to filter somewhere throughout the draft. So I think there's a lot of question marks about it.
312-644-6767, Burbank. Robert, you're on Bears All Access. Good evening.
Hey, great show.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Now, I want to talk a little about the linebackers. So Danny Cerveza was a big guy in Denver, big name, good linebacker. Now we've brought in Freeman, and we have McPhee now. Now, my question is, do the Bears now have one of the best linebacking groups in the game?
You know, we are talking about this in the break, too, is because you still have to respect Lamar Houston and Willie Young because of their development throughout the season into the scheme of the defense and then the latter part of the year. Willie Young, whether he's in a two-point stance or a three-point stance, is a really good pass rusher. And I think Lamar Houston, the stronger he gets, the more he gets his body acclimated to the position he's going to play. I do think that you do have at least a number of linebackers that are going to make the position a lot more competitive than they concluded the season last year.
Right. A lot of people think that the Bears don't have anyone capable of getting after the quarterback opposite Pernell McPhee. And I would submit, and Jim, what do you think about this? I would submit that as those guys began to get their bodies right, because they were both coming off serious injuries.
Right.
You know, Lamar Houston was coming off an ACL. Willie Young was coming off an Achilles injury. I spoke to those guys at the end of the year, and they said—
And a position change
yes,
and
exactly,
everything else.
A new defense, a new role, but they bought in. That's the thing that impressed me. They bought in, and you saw them begin to ascend late in the year when they started to feel right, when they started to understand, they started to get what was going on. You saw them make plays down the stretch.
Yeah, no, I like this linebacking group. This is an above-average group that the Bears have assembled. That would be my opinion. I mean, granted, there's different defenses out there. I could throw out, you know, if we were to go 4-3 defense, I mean, you got to like Carolina Panthers linebackers, no matter who you are. But the Bears have an above-average group. I'm not saying they're elite, but that is a solid, above-average core that are more than— you know, probably more than what 2/3 of the NFL have to offer at the backer position.
I think the coaches that they have here are better than a majority of the coaches inside the NFL. When you look at Vic Fangio, you look at John Fox, you look at Clint Hurt, you look at the rest of the guys that are there coaching behind the scenes, I think all these guys, if you're like Willie and Lamar making a position change, you're lucky to be being coached by who you are. And then if you Trevathan and the rest of the guys that are coming in here, then there's consistency in what you've heard in the past throughout your career. So I do think coming in here, you have a good group of guys, but you're also playing for some of the top coaches in the league.
I just find it fascinating that if you're going to take an outside linebacker, and again, this is why, you know, I look at a guy like Leonard Floyd, who's been linked to the Bears a lot, even by Mel Kiper Jr., you better be sure that this guy can definitely play the outside linebacker position, and he can definitely get to the quarterback in this league. Because if not, to me, you start looking at the Bears' defensive line. I've talked about it a lot. The regular season finale, the Bears had 5 defensive linemen who weren't with the team when training camp started. So they were taking guys off the street. They had to deal with guys who played poorly, guys that they cut for behavior, whatever the issue. The bottom line is the Bears didn't have enough defensive linemen by the end of the year. That's an area that has to be upgraded. We'll come back. More of your phone calls at 312-644-6767 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Best caller of the hour here to Bears All Access gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Back to the phones we go. Zach, Tom, and Jim talking with Connor in Lake Forest. Connor, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks for making it. What's up?
All right, I was just wondering, you know, with all the depth the Bears have in this draft and all the talk about the front seven being established even further, what do you think there's any possibility the Bears trade some of these picks to try to get a top guy like Jalen Ramsey to establish that secondary?
Man, when you look at the mock drafts, you'd have to go up pretty high to get Jalen Ramsey, and I don't know if the Bears even have the value of that value to trade to get up to a position like that. Jim, what do you think about them trading up higher than 11?
I mean, there's still talk that he could go number one overall,
yes,
to
correct.
Tennessee. So that would take most of your draft, let's put it that way, to get up that high. So there's other corners, and this draft is pretty good. When you look at guys that'll probably go first round, like Eli Apple out of Ohio State, that's a guy who's rising up the boards. Mackenzie Alexander, I'm having a hard time with the Clemson guy because he hasn't had an interception.
Right.
He's very confident in himself. I'll give him that, but he doesn't come with a lot of production. William Jackson III out of Houston is getting a lot of love for his man coverage skills, and I like a guy like Kendall Fuller. I think he's been injured. He's coming back. A lot of teams are starting to like him, but there's some corners that have a lot of value, in my opinion, that the Bears could probably snag early in the second round rather than giving up all that compensation that you mentioned, Tom, to get up to potentially what would be one or two overall in the draft.
I think the other thing you have to keep in mind, there's a specific type of corner that fits what Vic Fangio is trying to do, and you saw it last year. When they signed Alan Ball, they want a big corner.
Right.
I think that's the type of cornerback that when you look at Vic Fangio's history, everywhere he's been, that's a big deal to what he tries to do.
Everybody wants a big corner, but they're not out there. And that's the thing about it is we become an admirer of a player that has a certain skill trait. It's like everybody's going to go out and try to get a Seth Curry. No, you're not. There's
right.
not a lot of them out there. You're going to go out and get the best player you can and develop them into your system.
I'd be interested to know if the Bears signed Dante Whitner, who was a Pro Bowl safety he was out in Vic Fangio out in San Francisco.
Whitner.
Just got released by Cleveland. Knows the defense. That is a big dude who is a very versatile safety and a big hitter that you mentioned, Tom. So I'd be interested to see if the Bears are talking to him now that he's a free agent.
We've got to say goodbye, but before we do, I'm going to give the gift certificate to Sports Authority. The caller of the show, in my opinion, Timothy from Burke, kind of broke down what all the free agent signings mean and how that gives the Bears flexibility in the draft. That kind of level two, level three thinking, we reward you for that here on Bears All Access.
That's right, Timothy.
For Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman saying thanks for listening to Bears All Access. Back next week on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by FanDuel, MasterCard, and Verizon.